Hey everybody, welcome to episode 40 of It's Just Bodybuilding. Of course, it's Dusty Hanshaw and myself, Big Ron Partlow. And on today's shows, we got questions. There's some gyms in the world that are opening. Are you ready? And It's Just Bodybuilding.
Ron,
yes.
Is your gym opening?
Fuck, we're opening tomorrow at 5 a.m.
Holy shit, you won't be there for that. You'll be asleep, but that's awesome.
I'll be there.
What are you doing? Tell me what do you got to do between now and then, man? I know that our gyms are shifty and having to do things, and everyone's doing something different. What are you guys doing?
Well, we didn't want to be reactive about this, right? We want to be proactive. So we'd already done a bunch of stuff, you know? Like, we'd gotten a bunch of stuff, like, you know how a lot of things, most of the work is getting the wheels turning, mm-hmm. and then finishing it off is just, like, a couple phone calls.
So your wheels were already rolling.
Right. So we had a bunch of stuff that we were, like, you know, we were ahead of the curve. We sold a bunch of equipment. We moved the cardio. We weren't just sitting around waiting for the government to go, oh, you can open your business next week and then have to do everything all at once.
Right.
Which I think some people did.
Dude.
Like.
Yes.
Is that
here? Yeah. Here I'm seeing it, and I'm like,
some people just locked the door and went like, okay, well, I guess I'll just wait for, you know, when they start telling me what to do. But you have to look at the clues that they're doing in other areas. Like, when you go to Home Depot, is it normal? No. So is your gym going to be normal? No.
Yeah. Like, when you based on what's going on, like you said, in your area of what's normal, because I was really stunned when they opened up here. I contacted my two gyms that I go to that are smaller. And I was like, hey, what are you guys going to do so I can post it? And they're like, we'll let you know.
Right.
And I was like, okay, so you're going to text me like 5 minutes or.
Right.
Yeah. You know, because it was, and they were both kind of blindsided. And I was like, man, what?
Yeah. So, you know, I'll give you an example. Like, we'd already discussed almost every thing that we could think of,
right?
Like, what happens with capacity? What happens with juice bar? What happens with, are we going to use a booking app? What's the positives and negatives of that? But, like, you know, all that stuff, we'd had the discussions. We might have not made the final decision until, you know,
we had to know, yeah,
last Wednesday, but we've been talking about it. You know what I mean? Like, it was just a matter of like, okay, let's pick one and go, right? Mm-hmm. This choice or this choice, you know? And then there was a bunch of stuff we did have to scramble with, because there's a bunch of information in the package they released to us,
mm-hmm.
that you just simply had to wait for. You know what I mean? Like, you know, there's restaurants. We're just waiting to hear how many people per 1,000 square feet can they have,
mm-hmm.
you know, or is it going to be a percent capacity or whatever? You know what I mean? So they just had to, like, you know, so there's a bunch of stuff we had to wait.
What's
for.
Yours? The capacity or what is it?
No, so it's really interesting what they did. We've been pretty fortunate here in BC that, I mean, although the government did shut businesses down and stuff, which, like, you know, I still have, like, a fundamental problem with in a lot of ways. But
what you
we
do
did,
is call the Constitution. Go ahead.
Yeah, but yeah, exactly. Like, but we, I'm one of those people that believes the economic impact of this on a world level is going to be catastrophic. So you might, you know, everyone here might be okay and recover, but 100 million children will starve in Africa over the next 5 years, right? So that's just how I think. And some people think that that's incorrect, but that's just how I think. So anyways, back to the main topic at hand. They haven't been, like, micromanaging a lot of stuff. I mean, some stuff's obviously silly because it's the government, right? Mm-hmm. But they didn't give us a number. They said you have to determine your own capacity to ensure social distancing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So basically, you pick a number that will allow people to stay far enough apart from each other and still function. And, you know, you have to take into consideration entryways and hallways and things that might you know, you have to just try to keep your gym from looking and feeling like it's busy at all.
Right. Which is fine. So your leg equipment's wide open.
Yeah, we're pretty wide open. We're pretty wide open. But yeah. But we sold 11 pieces of equipment. Mm-hmm. We had like a bunch of older pieces that we kind of inherited from the last gym.
Yeah.
And they were great. They were great little pieces, but you know, they had kind of lightweight stacks on them and, you know, they weren't needed, and it was a good time to sell them because they were worth more.
Yeah, for sure.
And so we got rid of a bunch of pieces, and it really opens the floor up. And then we sold a bunch of the old cardio. And
now, did you move stuff? I mean, I'm just asking more from my mental view, like benches, for example, because that's a busy area. Are you just
So we're removing some of the benches.
Mm-hmm.
So the dumbbell area is the only place in the gym that has X. It's going to have X's.
Right.
Just to give people an idea, like only 5 people are allowed in this area.
Right.
Right. There's only 5 X's. Right. So we have to do that. I'm doing that today. But the rest of the gym is just people. There's also a social contract. You know, if you're on that back machine, I can't use that back machine because it's right next to it. So I'm just going to have to find, I'm going to have to go do dumbbell rows or for you to walk away. And then I can go into that back machine and do a set.
Right.
So just the same social, you know, cooperation we've been making with everybody and Safeway and fucking Costco, you know, all that shit. So we just have to do that in the gym. And the back area, you know how the back area was kind of cluttered at my gym? Like we had a lot of shit in there. We sold a T-bar row, and we sold a really good pull down that I liked, but we had too many pull downs. So we sold this one. It had a huge stack on it, but we sold this one really cool pull down that we had.
It's blue and white one?
Yeah.
Dick. Yeah. Go ahead.
Old Apex pull down. Yeah, we sold that one. But now the area, just like you walk through it and you're like, oh, like you can put your arms out.
Right.
And the it was interesting. They didn't make us move gym equipment, but they did say you had to spread your cardio out or tape cardio off or put plexiglass barriers. Right.
I'm sorry. I can't help it because I saw a meme that it was so funny. It was like, it said, dear plexiglass, thank you for protecting me as I hand the guy all of my groceries, which he touches all of and puts in a bag and hands back to me.
Yeah.
Like, no. It just makes me laugh. Like, I flew yesterday and they made us separate 6 feet apart to get on the airplane so we could all sit next to each other. Okay.
It's
optical of it, but it's hysterical, you know, because you get on a plane and now literally every seat was full. So it was kind of comical as we had to like slowly get on the plane 6 feet apart. I'm like, we are all going to still get on a plane with the same number of seats.
Let me ask you a question. let me ask you a question. Cause I honestly haven't done this obviously for 2 months. What's it like sitting next to a stranger?
Well, I never like sitting next to people.
Right. But was it extra weird for you? Was it weird for him? Did you guys joke about it? Was it like, oh, hey, I guess we're like,
you know what's funny about it though? I mean, truthfully is I think everyone's in the same boat. So who's annoying is the guy that has to talk in the back real loud. Yeah. Oh, yo, like saying the obvious, like what I just told you. It's annoying when you're getting on the plane because we're like, yeah,
don't remind us.
We all know it's stupid.
Yeah.
But these guys don't have a choice.
Yeah.
And at least we're all getting on the fucking airplane. But no, I mean, truthfully, I think those who are traveling are over it.
Yeah. You have to be.
Like I did talk to one guy. It was cool because we were going through TSA and he had a little baby. And I was kind of like, you know, in my head, I'm thinking that would be me. Like, fuck it. We got to move on. And he goes, yeah, I don't really want to be traveling right now, but I got to do what I got to do. And I was like, I hear you. You know what I mean? Yeah. We're talking about a baby. Like I consider myself somebody who just does whatever, and I probably would not be loading my kid up and rocking out on an airplane unless I had to at this point.
Yeah, no, yeah, I know. It's interesting.
It's simple, I was asking about the gym because here, every gym is doing it differently. And I think it's cool because you can see the smaller gyms, like, they know their gym. So, like, Independence is a very strong personal trainer gym.
Yes.
So I don't know if you saw, but they split it. Trainers on one day, public on the other. I saw it and was like, fuck yeah, because when I go in that gym, it's going to be empty. I mean, in comparison, it's going to be awesome.
What's the capacity?
I don't know what the rule is, but the gym's huge. So yeah. I don't think it's even to be an issue, especially when I train. So like, I'm gonna go there tomorrow, because fuck, I haven't been there in 2 months, and the gym will be relatively empty,
right?
Because all the trainers won't be there, and I got 3 days a week I can train, which for me is plenty. I only train four, so you know, between there and Muscle Factory, I'm set. You know, right. I haven't even seen what he's doing yet. That's the gym I've been going to the whole time. Yeah. So I haven't spoken to him on what he's doing yet. Lifetime, they spread all their equipment out, got rid of some stuff as far temporarily, and then they're doing temperature checks on the way in, and that's it. You know, EOS is doing a scheduling, which is just going to be a fucking nightmare. Like, you know, it's funny. My training partner goes, oh, so you would schedule an hour. He goes, well, when you show up 15 minutes late, and then people talk to you for 15 minutes, we have 30 minutes. I'm like, exactly. Like, it would never work. Like, you know, right. I'm going to be late to my own funeral. Like, I don't see how this is going to help me.
Well, see, that's the thing. The booking app, we're getting one made so mm-hmm. that it integrates with our membership base so only members could schedule. Right. But we don't want to use it. We're going to see how things go first mm-hmm. couple of days, managing the count. And just get a feel for things.
Yeah, see what's necessary. I just think with those gyms, you know, it's a clusterfuck. Like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, okay, well, I'll go to EOS.
You There's know. Also the option of that we talked about of saying, like, you only need the app during these hours. You have to book.
But
rest of the time we're open. Like, maybe 4 to 8, you have to book. So maybe at like 3:15, we lock the door.
Right.
Like, close the door so people can't come in, because they won't have time to finish before the 4 o'clock people show up, right?
Right.
So that's like an idea. Like, close the door at like 3:30 or something, and then at 4 o'clock the appointments start and they run till a certain time, and then you just open the door.
I think you'll see too is people are understanding right now.
Like, yeah, that's another
the gym thing. Is open and they're just like, thank fucking God. Like, whatever hoops we gotta jump through, everyone's just like, dude, you're open. You're awesome. Even on the couple of, because I know a couple of the gyms are like, because they were like here, they're like, cool, you guys can open tomorrow. And they weren't ready because it was like, oh, fuck. So they saw the rules and they said, you know, so when they posted, they're like, we'll let you know by Monday. And every response was like, totally understand. Can't wait to come in.
Yeah. And that's another thing too, is, you know, when you're running a business, you know how it is when you own your shops, but like, you don't want your customer to be inconvenienced at all. Yeah. But then there's like certain points of time when you have to go like, hey, we're all inconvenienced. Like, it's just,
I think everybody knows, you know, like, they're like, dude, you guys are open, and they expect bugs and they expect some issues. But dude, when you haven't been in the gym in 2 months, you know, I've told all my clients that are in areas where they don't have a choice.
Yeah.
They got an hour. I'm like, throw my workout out the window. You're training shoulders. You know what we do. You have 60 minutes.
Yeah.
It should take 45.
Yeah.
Go. You know what I mean? And it's so it's been cool because they're understanding, like, you can't get to a piece of equipment and need it when you have an hour. We don't have time for that shit. You know, on to the next. This is not a time for DC training. It's, you know, train hard and we'll figure it out.
Get a good workout. In there, like, 1 minute rest between sets. Like, how when we train legs.
How you train every day.
Jesus. I've been slowing it down a little bit, trying to, you know, enjoy my time.
I'm meeting you in the middle now, dude. I've been going quicker.
Oh, okay, there you go.
You know, I was like, look at me getting sweaty.
Yes, I know. So, yeah, we're excited to get back to it. I'm sure everyone's excited to get back to their gym. I know a lot of people still have a long wait, and I feel bad for them. You know what? We're just really lucky where I live. We have really, really low numbers. Like, the numbers that came out yesterday, there's only 49 people in hospital in the whole province. And there's only 11 in ICU in the whole province.
Yes, so it's very hard for them to say they need to keep businesses closed with those kind of numbers.
5.5 million people. Right. We have 49 people in hospital.
Yeah.
So we're still getting, you know, obviously they're testing a lot of people, so you're getting new cases, but it's the hospital and the ICU numbers that have just been driven into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're still getting, you know, 20 cases a day, but the other numbers are just like,
right.
So, that's what matters, you know?
For sure.
So we're going to get back to it here. I know some people are really pessimistic and they think we're going to be social distancing till September, but I honestly think that where we live, I think that maybe in July we might be able to have a training partner. Not too far off.
That's honestly so funny to hear because you're like, oh wow.
You know what, Dusty? I have to take a minute here to let everybody in on the side of me I might not talk about much, but the idea of not allowing someone to train with someone has like deeply affected how I feel about this situation. To me, it's like one of the most important people in my life has been my training partner.
Yeah.
You know, like I can list them.
Right.
They're all dudes that like, you know, big deal. And, you know, telling people they can't have someone there, it's just weird, you know?
The word social and distancing doesn't make any sense whatsoever. And then, like you said, I mean, in a gym atmosphere, like, you know, who you choose is like, you know, that's your family in a way, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. It's like, you know, it's just, cause you know how things, when things get legal, it's all about who's your family.
Right.
But like, you know how life isn't like that for a lot of people.
I was going to say, yeah, for me, that means that there's zero blood involved in this conversation.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
and that's him and her and him.
Yeah. You know, like it's funny. I was joking with people. I was like, you know, for guys in our world, you know, there's their wife, their kid, and their training partner. And it's sort of a toss up who comes first.
Yeah. What time is it? And is it leg day?
Yes. If it's leg day, Dave is really a priority, you know?
It's so true.
Like, Friday night, the wife.
Yeah.
Hey,
we are good to go. Saturday morning is supposed to be sports with the kids. So, God. Yeah, that's funny shit. It's accurate.
It is, though. It's like, you know, there's going to be a trigger. Everyone's going to have a trigger with something like this. Like, maybe it's a fact. Like, I was just reading someone's comments on Facebook the other day, and they're like, yeah, I own a karaoke company. Like, I go to bars and pubs. Like, I'm fucked. I was making $8,000 a month, and now I'm illegal.
You know? Yeah. And if you think about what, you know, what those nights do for people, it's really difficult for me when they start deciding, you know, who is a must have and who isn't. Yeah.
Go ahead.
When you're breaking down, you know, like what we're dealing with right now in our industry, mental health. Karaoke guy is very fucking important to me.
Yeah. Or
whatever the fucking word is they're using
out,
now.
Just think there's people out there that, yeah, they don't mind standing in line at Home Depot. They don't give a shit about staying away from people. They don't mind being at home. Maybe they hate their job and they're actually kind of happy to not be at work. But they can't go to karaoke.
Yeah.
And that's just fucking brutal. Yep. And they almost probably feel like it's not really that big of a deal. I shouldn't be so upset,
right.
But they can't help because it's where their mental health and they're like, you know, expressing themselves or whatever, you know, like,
yeah, no, for sure.
It's like that. So we all have something that, you know, and like, you know, the gym's being closed. I mean, I'll have to admit, there was so much going on and there was so much to manage and so many things that, you know, were just on our minds that I, you know, maybe didn't quite absorb the fact that I still had a gym.
Right.
Cause it was just on with life. And then of course it's an endless circle because I use the gym to deal with stress.
Oh, for sure.
So then you just never notice that how lucky you are. You know, you think you stop and think, oh, I'm pretty lucky to have a gym, but you know, it doesn't really set in.
Yeah.
And now that the gym's coming back and other people can't train with someone and have to train like in an hour and have to like do all this stuff, I'm like, oh, I haven't been encumbered yet. And now they're all going to have to be encumbered.
Right.
Like held back by all these rules. And, you know, I just hate seeing that. And I really feel for obviously the guys that were maybe like me when I was younger, who, like I said, you know, their training partner was like super important because they were training for shows and, you know, like how you've been so progressive with Matt over the years and all that stuff.
Yeah, no, it's a brutal spot, man. But I think, you know, now, number one, I'm hopeful that when this is done, number one, everyone is going to be grateful for what we have. But I'm going to be the asshole that also says, I hope that we don't fucking roll over ever again.
Yeah, something's got to be done differently.
Yeah, like,
you know what? It's a trigger
to say that because I'm sure everyone's like, holy shit, people are dying. And I'm not downgrading that. Yeah. But it's just.
You know how we make the same mistakes over and over all the time?
Yes.
Like we have to, you know, just like I said earlier on the show, you know, my brother, you know, fancy infectious disease doctor and all that. I mean, he said, everyone's got to get on the same page that the first fucking thing you do is close all the borders and shut down all the airports and prevent travel.
Yep.
And that's going to be inconvenient for millions of people, and it's going to be economically damaging to a lot of businesses, but it's not going to destroy shit.
Yeah.
Like, okay, can't all travel stops. Okay. Yeah. Cool. Who's infected? What countries? Okay, let's all go help those countries. Oh, there's only five countries? Oh, whew. You know?
Yeah. 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 We can go fund that shit. Let's do this.
Yeah. We can go fund five countries, but 200 countries? Fuck.
Yeah. Well, hard to help when you need help at that point.
But it's just, you know, the offense thing, like, oh, you can't tell people they can't go somewhere. It's like, well, I'd rather do it on a national border scale than on a fucking can't leave my yard scale.
Yeah. Which is, like, you know, we had some comment. I looked, it was funny. I know that some of this is people are assholes, but we had some comments on our Jansen episode where people were talking about, well, I live in Europe and I have a garage. I'm like, what I'm saying is a lot of people.
Yeah. Most people in London.
Those areas do not have those things, cannot do those things. I'm not, you know what I mean? Like, I read that. I wanted to answer, and I just decided I would do a public fuck you instead. So if you're reading this asshole that wrote that, I understand. Stop being an asshole.
Yes.
You know, because I do. I have clients in Europe that have like a shed that they have torn out and turned into a goddamn monster gym. But yeah, I mean, I've even realized how spoiled we are here when I'm bitching. Because Scottsdale has been, every restaurant I go to is still open. You had to get takeout, but it was there. I've only bumped into a couple of things that stopped here. Right. And I'm still drastically inconvenienced because I'm such a selfish prick. But I didn't realize that. Like, I joked about it before, and then I realized, like, no, I really am a fucking asshole. Like, if anything changes that I don't like, I'm like,
oh, yeah. Oh, I've had my moment.
What are you doing? And I'm like,
I remember
wow,
the first
there's something
time,
wrong with me.
I remember I went to Safeway. I always go to Safeway at, like, 9:30 at night.
Right.
Right? And, like, it was, like, first weekend of the pandemic, you know? Like, I think the gym had just shut. And I went to Safeway at 9:30 and it was closed at 8.
How dare they?
And I was like, why the fuck are you closing early? You're just making everyone come in a tighter period of time.
Because your brain went in with logic, which is not helpful in these situations.
And then I was just like, I remember I was so fucking irritated that night that Safeway closed at 8. I was like, who closed at 8? What is this, like a British town in 1980, you know, like where, oh, you know, close at 6, like, you know, no, nothing's open on Sunday, you know, like that sort of shit.
Yeah.
Like it made me so mad and it was just funny. And I remember I reflected on it after and I had like a laugh. I was like, you know, I have 3 pounds of fish in my fucking freezer.
Yeah.
I'm not going to starve to death just because I didn't get my turkey.
Yeah.
You know,
but in that moment, it didn't fucking matter.
No,
I
was
trust
so
me. I feel you 100 because I've been thinking about that now with the gym's opening. I'm like, wait a minute. Am I going to have to follow some rules now? Because I've been doing whatever the fuck I want for the last 2 months.
Yeah, that's, you know, fundamentally, Dusty, that's something I've learned about myself. I don't know what it is. I don't know what happened to me. I don't know if it's good or bad, but rules really fucking piss me off. And
must be why we're friends.
Yeah, like I fucking hate rules. Like, just behave yourself. Be reasonable. How's
I think
that?
The rule should be don't be a complete asshole and everything.
Don't be an asshole, just be reasonable. We don't need a bunch of fucking rules. Like regulations and and then now of course we have to deal with like the health department and work safe and all that stuff. So we have to be ready for them to come in. So like, you know, how many inches from the door is your sign posted and like just that sort of stuff. Like
yeah, bullshit that doesn't matter.
You know, it's just, you know, I don't like regulation. I like businesses to just be free to manage themselves. And the ones that people like will be successful. And the ones that don't serve good food will close. And, you know, I'm just a big believer in a lot more of that than we're seeing right now, obviously.
Yeah, no shit. Oh, shit. So, well, we got to get cranking, man. We got freaking questions out the yazoo here. But you had one that you had mentioned. I wanted to hit that one early because I thought it was a heavy one out the gate while I searched for the other ones.
Oh, yeah. So this actually is a good segue into our first question because we're just talking about behavior. So I had a good one here from Jared Gray on Instagram. And he said, oh, first part was about trend, but we'll skip that.
trend hard, Jared. Trend hard.
Yeah. Trend hard and eat clean. What are y'all's most unlikable quality in a person, men and women, if there's a difference? So what don't you like? You know, just.
I mean, I have a list, but I mean, truthfully, when I think about the question, I would dive instantly into the industry. And what I don't like in our industry that's a quality is I'm gonna create my own little section. I'm gonna call it unwarranted arrogance.
Okay.
And I say unwarranted because I always joke that when someone is correct, they're not arrogant; they're just right. So, right. Like, if Ronnie Coleman said, "Well, I'm the best bodybuilder ever," I'd go, "Yes."
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Even if I'm a Yates guy, I could go, okay, I'm good with that. Yeah. So when I state that in our industry, what it is I've come up with a lot of, I've reached a point where I almost wish there was a little regulation in what we do. Because there's too many people who just pretend they are ready to take on clients and questions and things like that. And they do so in a way that's so terrible. It's painful if you know what you're doing. I actually just posted a lady this morning who reached out to me on a Q&A and was training with a local expert. And because of what she gave me, I was prepared for the fight of my life with a client whose body was not cooperating. And she's immediately started changing. So it just made me realize, like, even though I knew this person didn't know their shit, the level that they didn't know their shit was so much higher than I thought that there's no problem. They were just fucking up.
Right.
Like, right. I was ready to, like, I told her, I'm like, look, it's going to take 6 months to figure out what your body's having.
Because you assumed they were already working with a competent person.
Yeah. So that is my extremely long answer to things I hate, because I'm just like, oh, you're so dumb that this is actually easy.
Right.
Like, right. But you're selling your services at a more expensive rate than me.
Yes. Yes.
So, yes, that's one of my things within the industry. Go.
Unlikable trait in someone. Well.
Do not describe me. Go.
Undependability.
Yes.
When you can't depend on someone. You know. Fortunately, I feel like I've made pretty good choices in my life where I've surrounded myself with dependable people, but that's probably because I don't like undependable people. So it's just something that's important, you know. And that's because, you know, on the flip side of that, dependable people, that's like a trait I really value, you know. And especially when you own a business. Fuck, when you got some dependable people, you know, whether it be a guy that you know can come in and fix shit right now, or you know that if there's any problem with something, there's a guy that will, like, you know, help you out, you know. Mm-hmm. It's good. Yeah. But undependable people, that's tough, you know. You have to you know, there's, like, it reminds me of Gary Vee's quote, never expect anything from anybody and then you'll never be disappointed.
Right. Which is so true if you could actually do it.
But the good news is there are people out there that you can depend on.
Yeah. No, I dig that. I think you're right. But it is interesting that your circle is never those things. You know, like, I joke that I don't have friends, but what I mean is I don't have a laundry list of people. But, you know, there's 10 phone numbers that I could dial that pretty much anything on the planet would probably be handled, or they'd find a way to do something, no matter what it is. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's the opposite of the undependable, like you said. It's like, you know, you ever watch you ever see the show The Town with Ben Affleck?
Oh, it's the movie. Yeah. The bank robbers.
That was like my favorite scene when he shows up and he's like, we gotta go do something. We're gonna hurt some people, and you can't ask any questions. And he goes, "Whose car are we driving?" Those are my kind of friends right there. The only question, who's fucking driving?
Yeah.
Hey, what's up, guys? Scott here, and I want to take a really brief pause from this episode to shout out our new great sponsor, Azoth. Now, first of all, guys, I want to say that I only bring in companies that I truly, truly do believe in. You know, I believe in TrueNutrition.com, and I believe in GetAzoth.com. This is a total nootropic product. They've sponsored BNR, Bodybuilding Nerds Radio, for a number of years now. I'm super familiar with it. I've watched the company grow, and I've watched Prady do great things with it. And listen, here's my story. You know, in all honesty, I feel like I fucked up in the early part of my life, and I didn't get the things done that I should have done earlier on. And I'm trying to make up for that now, honestly. You know, I'm trying to be the best person I can and help people and, you know, try to put a retirement together for myself. I'm totally self-employed between podcasting full-time and nutrition coaching. My life is pretty demanding, and that's the way that I want to live it. I want to get the most I can out of life, and I want to have fun doing it. And if you can't tell, guys, I am having a lot of fun with this. By the way, I'm grateful for you guys listening and watching all the shows. Anyway, getazoth.com. I feel that my attention and my focus is increased when I use this. At the same time, I don't get the anxiety that goes along with a lot of stimulants. If you haven't tried a nootropic, this is the place that I would suggest going. Start out with these guys and let me know what you think. I've got links in the show descriptions. And if you haven't tried it, Prady even has an option to get a bottle for free. So it'll be no cost to you. You can see what it's all about. Either way, guys, check out getazoth.com and let me know what you think, because I found that it's a fantastic product. Hey guys, why are you using sports nutrition that was designed for someone else? At TrueNutrition.com, they offer the world's largest selection of quality protein powders, and they let you design your own custom blend from a variety of powders, flavors, boosts, and packaging options, like the Team Skip blend, for instance. That's over 20 billion possible combinations to create a protein powder tailored to your diet, your goals, your tastes, and your budget. TrueNutrition.com also offers the ability to create delicious custom oatmeal blends. And they're third-party tested, proving that all their supplements are ensured to have the highest level of quality and value. Don't be a sucker and pay for fancy packaging and gimmicks. Discover the source that bodybuilders trust and stop using mass-produced nutrition that wasn't designed for you. TrueNutrition.com. And use our code ADVICES at checkout to let them know that you support the shows.
So, yep. All right. Well, I got a laundry list of questions, man. So what I wanted to do today, because we do have so many, is kind of bang some out.
Okay. We'll rapid fire a few. A little
quicker. Yeah. Just because there is a ton. So here's a good one.
We'll do some mutant in a minute.
It pretty much. Why does sleep quality decline during the latter stages of prep? My sleep is dog shit this prep. That's from LiveFit08.
Well, appetite is part of it. You're hungry. So naturally your like evolutionary nature is that when you're hungry, you go look for food.
Mm-hmm.
So it has to do with blood sugar and hormones. And there's a lot of things that we're doing that put us in a state where our brains are actually very alert. Even though our bodies are physically tired, so it's hard to fall asleep. Whenever you're hungry, your brain will actually be alert.
Right.
It's just natural. So, and then of course add in like, you know, if you're like, some people say they can't sleep on trend because they're sweating and like, you know, there's like interruption factors. But mostly
I think 700 times.
Yeah. And then of course, yeah, being on low carbs and a calorie deficit, you know, water goes right through you. Your filtration rate is higher because your intake of fluids higher and your sodium sky high and blah, 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 blah. There you go.
Here's a good one actually for you. And when you nail
everything, I take it you're not answering because you just completely agree.
Yeah. If there's anything I need to add, I will. Which sucks with us because there's usually not much I need to add to your answers.
So actually, before I go on that one, that's why they are a lot of people. A lot of guys do it. They save some carbs for right before bed.
Mm-hmm.
Now I know people are like, oh, I don't eat carbs before bed. But if you're on like 100 carbs a day and you're 250 pounds and your fucking like glutes are striated, it doesn't matter when you eat your carbs. I mean, it's like you could save 30 grams of them for before bed, get a little bit of blood sugar and just like,
You know, it's funny that you said that, though. I do that with my fats. You know, Chris always does a high fat protein meal.
Fats are very satiating.
I do that so I'm not hungry.
Yeah.
But then in the off season, which I sleep terrible anyways, but I don't eat fats at night because they wake me up.
Ah, okay. Interesting.
Like, yeah. Then I'm like, oh, fuck, let's go. So during prep, that's my last meal, is like that flank or salmon meal. And then in the off season, I have that like meal too before I train.
That's like how I could never take Anadrol off season because it would make me like I couldn't eat.
Right.
But contest prep, when you're happy to not be hungry, Anadrol is fucking beautiful.
Yeah. Can I get some more of that? Because I'm fucking starving.
One Anadrol a day keeps the appetite away. You know?
What are your thoughts? And this is going on a ton in the States. What are your thoughts on some of the smaller gyms defying the orders and just opening?
I completely. So this is a general thing about the whole lockdown. The whole like, I fucking hate you because you want the economy to open. And then they're like, I fucking hate you because blah, blah, blah. Like that bothers me. I think we should try to be compassionate to how all these people are feeling. Everyone's in a spot we've never been in before. I completely understand why they want to open. Mm-hmm. Especially in California. Holy shit.
Yeah.
There's some states where what's going on in California? Like, they're arresting people on paddle boards and they're like doing just crazy shit that is just, I mean, can any of these people actually be like, when all these cases go to court, are they just all going to get thrown out? Like,
well, technically it's not illegal. So yeah, you got an issue,
you know, like is this just a huge waste of everyone's time and a violation of everyone's rights? And, you know, we have to remember that, you know, some of these guys are on the verge of going broke. Some of these guys are on the verge of losing everything. Mental health is a massive factor and a major contributor, especially in your American gyms. Like, obviously, you know, we got the military flags up in our gym. You know, we feel, you know, we're big supporters of, you know, the Canadian military. But in the States, it's like so ingrained, you know. And if I owned a gym and I had like 30 ex-Marines training there and they were all like really needed to train. Yeah. I fucking wouldn't want to leave those guys out, man.
Yeah.
Fucking suck.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think that's the big thing. My quick toss over on this is you don't have to come.
Yeah. You don't have to come.
So if I open and I'm going to risk it, come, don't come. That's your deal.
Let's all do the dance.
Yeah. And it's the same, because if you hate people who would go, or you think they're risking everyone else's life, then you should also hate me because I got on an airplane. But it's legal.
Yeah, that's the thing, man. So did you see the clip? I'm on Twitter again.
Okay, no, I didn't.
Fuck. The reason I had to upload Twitter again is because I was trying to get a hold of Fraser Health, and I was looking at the BC health updates, and I was trying, you know, I was tagging the mayor and shit. So I got on Twitter, right? Back on Twitter. So I have to take it off my phone when this is over. But anyways, I saw a clip. It was at Attila's gym in New Jersey.
Uh-huh.
And there was all these people outside, and there was a speech, and I guess the cops showed up, and I guess the sergeant walked up to the owner of Attila's, mm-hmm. and he said, "You guys are in violation of this, 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 as per governor's orders. Have a nice day." Turned around and walked away.
He just let him know.
And all the cops sat back on their cars and just, they weren't going to enforce that order.
Yep.
And like, I mean, I don't know what, there's probably more to the story before and after, but that was a clip on Twitter. Mm-hmm. And, you know, with the Supreme Court smashing down, was it Wisconsin's stay-at-home order?
I can't remember which one, but I've seen, there's a couple of them Wisconsin. That I've seen. Yeah. No, you're right, because I saw David Bay put it up. You're right.
Yeah, David Bay, the king of Wisconsin. We got to have David Bay on the show. Fuck, just text him.
Yeah, we should actually.
So. Yeah, you know, when the Supreme Court smashes the order, and then that night the bars were full. Boom. Because everyone's like, well, fuck, it's all bullshit. And they just went to the bars. And I understand that's not a good idea either. Like,
yeah.
Like, I'm not saying that's cool, but I'm saying that's what happens when you, like, the more you push down on people, the worse the pushback is. That's why I think things have gone so well here in BC, is they haven't like forced us into homes. They haven't been like arresting people. They've just been like suggesting.
Mm-hmm. No, like, I think you're right. I think more people, the same here, more people are like, well, let's not be assholes because they're not being assholes.
Yeah.
And you're also thinking as a business owner, well, if 50% of my clientele says we should open and 50% says we should close, I need to find a way to keep everybody understanding of the moves we're making as a business.
Yes.
So no, I agree with you. It's the same. When I was a kid, I didn't have curfews or anything. If I wanted to leave, I would walk out the front door. And because of that, I never really did a ton because it was allowed.
I completely the same. My parents were done raising kids by the time I came along.
Right.
They were like, don't get arrested and make sure you graduate.
Yeah. Don't kill anyone. Don't make babies. All right.
Don't get anyone. Yeah. That's basically. Yeah. And so I would just come and go as I please. Like, where have you been? Out. Oh, yeah. Like, yeah. It's funny.
That was the same. If I wanted to leave at 11 o'clock at night, I'd walk out the front door and say goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, see ya. So, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I do think that falls in that same situation. So,
and this is also a good time to talk about Catholic girls.
Well, I was in a Mormon city, but I definitely agree with you.
There you go. Same dynamic. Same dynamic.
Marriage or dusty, kid. Marriage or dusty.
College in Salt Lake is a lot of fun. Being a hockey star in Salt Lake is a lot of fun, Dusty.
It was not a bad life. It was not a bad life. Man, the educations.
Yes.
Here we go. This is an important one, Ron. And I don't know your opinion. Potpourri saves relationships. Toilet paper versus baby wipes.
Oh, well, see, that's a false question.
You've been led in one direction.
Yeah, you use toilet paper and then you use a baby wipe.
Oh, look at you doubling down. You double. Ron doesn't fuck around. See, and he said potpourri saves relationships, but I'm actually more of the squirt into the what's it called? The poopery spray.
The no stink.
Dude, that's amazing. I use that when I'm by myself at the house. I still don't want that shit to stink. I don't want Harvey to come in and be like, bro, are you serious with this nastiness? Yeah. What the fuck did you eat? So everywhere.
I remember there's been a couple times where I smoked so much weed that I thought my shit the next day stunk like weed.
You're like, or is that just the entire house?
Yeah, no, it's like, did I eat weed last night? I don't think I ate any weed. Like,
you can't. It's harder, actually, but never mind. We won't go into the fact that the THC changes if you just eat it.
But, yeah, no, that was that's a whole nother story. But
we're going to need an episode for that one, so I'm going to skip along. Okay, oh, this is good. Can a bodybuilder start over in all aspects, training, food, and gear?
Yes, to a certain degree.
Expand, because I actually dig this one.
So I guess it depends. If you're like top 10 at the Olympia, no.
Damn it, I was so close.
You can't go back to 300 megs a test and put on 20 pounds of muscle.
Right.
That's not what I mean. So no, but can a bodybuilder, like a dude who's been bodybuilding his whole life, he's been training a certain way, he's a big Lee Haney fan, he's, you know, da 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 da, whatever, you know? And you know, he hasn't made gains in a long time. And he's just sort of been like spinning his wheels and he still loves the gym. You know, there's a lot of guys like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, they can. They can to a certain extent. You know, there's obviously what they're doing isn't working to progress anymore. Mm-hmm. It's just maintaining their physique. So yeah, they can simplify. There's probably a bunch of fluff. There's probably a bunch of drugs they don't need. There's probably some issues with nutrition. Their training has probably fallen off without them realizing. They probably aren't, you know, structured enough and blah, you know, there's probably a whole bunch of things they can do to start over. Like, okay, I'm just going to simplify everything, go back to basics, steak and potatoes, four sets of squats. Like, yeah, you can. Right. And you can get your body back in a way. Cause I've seen guys do it. Fuck, I feel better than I have in 10 years. My strength's actually what it used to be when I was 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm on less drugs and I look better. So I've seen it because it helped a lot of guys do that sort of thing. You know what I mean? Like they trained their whole life, but didn't compete till they're 38, you know?
Right. Well, I think the other factor is with that too, is I always, guys will come to me and they'll say, well, you know, I'm pretty old. I'm, you know, 42. And then I start asking questions and I'll tell them like, oh, well, you're like three. And they're like, what do you mean? I said, well, you've been training for like 3 years. Right. And to me, so if you don't have, if you didn't have years of injuries from football and whatever the fuck else, like, you can be fresh at 40 years old. Your body can be primed and ready to go. Now, granted, hormonally, things are different. But, I mean, overall, I hate when someone wants to limit based on, well, I'm 42. Because, you know, you at 42 were blasting your face off in the gym for decades. You know what I mean? Like, truly training. And I think that those are the factors people forget about, too, is when you ask that question, how hard are you really going? Because I think when we post videos, I try to drive it home, and I think it falls on deaf ears a lot. But what I'm showing is not the weight. It's the rep you didn't think I was going to get. And I want to see you get that with 135 or 225 or whatever it is, and it's just as fucking hardcore. It's just what's heavy to you versus me. You will get the same stimulus out of yours as I do mine. Fuck the weight. That wasn't the point.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? So if guys take that into place, I agree, and I think we all do. I know I have started over 5 times in my career.
Yeah, so I just thought of that while you were talking. I fucking started over a bunch of times. Yep. Like, okay, I'm going back to that program I did in 93. I'm just going to go back to that for a couple of months, reset everything, not force this, not force that. Oh, fuck, I feel better.
Yeah, I think the nature of overachievers is to fuck it up and start adding fluff and start adding sets and start adding this magic potion you're supposed to take. And then you remember, man, when I was just eating a lot, I was getting my best gains.
So here's one thing I thought of the other day. I thought right now with 1 hour workouts being nationwide.
Yeah.
Everyone needs to watch the Blood Guts video.
No shit. Right.
Because son, that's all you need because you only have an hour. So stop thinking.
Yep.
You only have an hour. Watch Blood and Guts. Watch it 10 times. And remember that his workouts were like 45 to 50 minutes long. And what you're seeing is 100% of the work. Like, you just, you know, skip the warm-ups. That they're only showing the work sets. That's all he did. Just
the full fucking workout you just
watched. And it's not like it's forever. If it doesn't work for you, it doesn't work for you. But guess what? It's only going to be a couple of months.
Plus, you know it'll work for you for a couple of months because it's a shock.
Yeah, plus it's something new and it'll be fun. You'll be amazed. You'll learn a lot from it. You'll be like, oh, fuck, I understand recovery now. Duh.
Right. Yeah.
Like a bunch of things, even if you don't get bigger or whatever, you're still going to learn a fucking shitload, like how to put more into a set, you know, how to max your focus. It's actually the perfect way to train for what's going on right now.
Right. I do think it's interesting. Plus, I think, you know, one thing we talked about with like Dorian, his numbers versus ours now, when I stepped away after that episode, I kind of thought to myself too, I'm like, yeah, but Dorian took a third of the time in between sets that I do.
Well, another
you realize you're like that dude was strong in every way, cardiovascularly, physically, you know, strength.
And of course, I know they can't have a training partner right now, so they're not going to get the Leroy effect of this forced reps and stuff. So they could, you know, they could do a rest pause on a couple sets or something like that.
You know, there's always a way, dude. So I started, we have a lateral raise machine, and I really like the way it hits, but I can't add weight to it because it moves the, it drags
as soon as I put weight on it. I know what you mean.
So I got away from it for a couple weeks. I was like, you know what? Fuck it. We're doing sets of 15 and you are not allowed to do anything. You stand up, I get down. We're doing 6 sets with it stacked.
Right.
Dude, I was fucking wrecked.
Oh,
we're
leaving
and the pump. And I mean, the next morning I'm like, oh fuck. And you just realize sometimes I'll make it heavy. And I didn't add any weight to it. I didn't get crazy. All I said was, your set takes about 40 seconds, which is how long I get to break. You know, get up and get the fuck out of the way because it's my set starting. We were doing 6 sets. I did by the fifth set, I'm getting spotted to get to 15 minutes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it was definitely one of those things where you kind of laugh at yourself at how I'm going to scoot away from this movement that I love because I can't make it heavier.
Yeah.
You know, now I'm negotiating how I can buy that piece of equipment when I open up my speakeasy gym. I'm like, What if you're, I can explain to them that illegal, I need this?
Your illegal training partner gym.
Yes, exactly. I want to put it under a building just to make it more real, but I can't. There's nobody
right.
to say, fuck.
Right, right.
Okay, here's another basic one. What's your opinion on locking your knees out or not on a leg press?
Well, I mean, I know people, some people say, oh, you're never ever supposed to lock your knees out, but that's, it's all dependent on the amount of weight you have. Your, the angle also makes a difference. Mm-hmm. Are your feet high or are your feet low? That, cause the shearing force is different.
Right.
And, yeah, so I know there's been some devastating injuries. I've locked my knees out a million times doing like the, I try not to. Is what I'm saying. Like I try to just go straight, you know, when the knee is just straight.
Yeah.
And there's still some tension on the quad, but you're like, can kind of rest. That's the sweet spot. So I do try to avoid the lockout, but I mean, I still like I've locked out a million times and never had a problem. I know we've seen the odd video where you're like, oh my God, but I guess I've never done it with like some crazy weight.
Well, I think people get sloppy with it, right? I mean, if you're easing into a period so you can get a couple of breaths.
Yeah. Like the other day, I did a drop.
You nailed it, which I couldn't think of a way to say that, but you're right. Legs straight is not legs locked. Knees locked.
Yeah, yeah, there's a difference. Like the other day on the pendulum, we did a strip set.
Fuck.
I did it in honor of John Meadows. We have to talk about John next.
Yes.
The day that I heard about John, I was training legs. So we did a strip set, peeling plates. And when I got down to one plate, because I went all the way down to one plate.
Jesus.
I was locking my knees out between every rep. Like I was doing like one or two and locking my knees out and one or two and locking my, and of course I'm not worried about hurting myself with that weight.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, it's just relative. Try to avoid it. Don't do it with really heavy weights. Like if you're doing a 6 rep leg press or something, which I don't really advise anyways, but yeah, be careful.
Sure, but it's not
the end of the world.
What is your opinion on the difference between a PCT and cruise? What difference in between PCT and cruise and safety? I guess he's saying coming off or cruising in between. Sorry. I love when I read a question. I can't understand it.
Well, so PCT coming completely off, I'm going to assume for argument's sake that he's saying like doing like 3 or 4 weeks of PCT and then like being off for a couple months.
Yeah.
Versus now you have to also define cruise. Like is it an internet cruise where it's 500 tests a week?
Yeah, which we call a full cycle.
Yeah, or is it like 100 milligrams of N-theta a week, or is it, you know, like what is it?
Right.
So let's just say it's 200 a week, like a bodybuilder TRT.
Right.
The funny thing is there's a lot of side effects and things that are bad for your blood work when you have no test as well.
True.
So coming off can actually be bad on your blood work too if you crash and you're like zeroed out for a long period of time.
Right.
So there's also risks there. It's all about your blood work and how badly are you, like are you trying to compete and get huge, or do you want to come off and like keep your sperm count high and try to, you know, like, is there, you know, because coming off doesn't make sense if you're just going to go back on again from a logical standpoint.
Yeah, well, from a standpoint of how your body needs, how much time your body would need to respond to give your levels back to normal anyways.
Yeah, just, and then if you really want to keep, yeah, you know, there's all sorts of different strategies. But I'd say that going on a low cruise is definitely a lot healthier in some ways, like mentally. And just how you general feel, your general like quality of life is higher.
Right.
You know, coming off sucks. I mean, I did it a million times because I was that other generation of bodybuilders that used to come off all the time.
Yeah, you wouldn't think about it.
So I'd come off twice a year and it sucked. You had to get ready for it. Like, I'm coming off.
This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, like it was just kind of funny. And like, and then, you know, learn later on that, you know, no one else is doing that anymore. And you're like, ah, fuck, I wonder what it would have been like to do that the whole time.
Right. Well, I'm going to add this, but I'm not going to go into detail because technically, legally, I shouldn't. You guys need to research the importance of using things like HCG and things during your cycles.
Yes. Great point.
I'm not going to go into how to do that, but if you're not doing that occasionally, or you're, you know, you should be looking into it. Do some research on what that will do for you to keep something like that on the regular. Very strong. And then absolutely, even if you're going into a TRT off cruise period, you should still be doing that as if you're coming all the way off, you know?
I know a really good friend of mine who I respect a lot. He takes a little bit of HCG every Sunday, just one shot, you know, and just keeps that sort of that end of the loop a little bit sensitized or functional.
Yep. No, I totally agree with that. I mean, there's so much data that supports what that will do. And quite frankly, when you start doing it, you'll know because you feel different. Right. So very, very key to look into that. So you don't necessarily need to pick which one of those are. Because I always hear that or PCT, and I'm kind of like, what do you mean or?
Now, let's say you take one shot a week, Dusty, of HCG.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know if your sperm count goes up a bunch just from one shot?
I don't know that it does, but I know you're essentially keeping your factory open.
Yeah. What if you don't really care about what your factory makes?
Well, I'm with you. I'm anti-factory myself. But what I look at truthfully is
get a knockup.
Yeah, no, we don't want that. No, but what I'm looking at it from a bodybuilding standpoint is this is how I always oversimplified, and I tend to tell people to try to do this. Let's say your test is at zero and you're taking 500 milligrams of test and you're going to get all of it. Well, then hypothetically that first week you're at 500. Well, if you could keep your natural levels at 100 and add 500, that would be better.
Right.
So that's really what I look at. And guys, right, don't delve any further than that because I understand half-lives and everything. But I just try to point that out is the higher we can keep your natural levels, the better for when you add on top of it.
Right. Okay. You know, great point.
So that's really all I look at is how do we keep that number as high as possible and anal for the rest.
There you go.
So I just saved you. No butt babies. It's not possible. I'm telling you, I've researched all weekend. Let's see here.
And this goes back to Catholic girls.
That's actually accurate.
Why do you keep bringing them up?
I don't mean to. It's the dresses, the skirts. I just can't with the plaid. All right. This is important. Your favorite junk food, candy, chips, whatever, that would always be in the shopping cart if you went over to Safeway, say 8:30 p.m. and they were open, you're gonna go watch a movie.
Only junk that's in my house that I would consider, like, if I'm gonna sit down and watch The Last Dance. The last two episodes, which I'm fucking looking forward to. Because it's just incredible.
You didn't do that yet. That was yesterday.
I know. Well, I was trying to get my gym ready.
Fucking adulting. Go ahead. Sorry.
I would say a pint of Ben & Jerry's ice cream.
Which one?
It's either Americone Dream.
Mm-hmm. Don't fuck me on the next one.
Tonight Dough, which is excellent. Or Half-Baked.
Yes. I was waiting to hear that
one. Or like the other day I went. No Ben & Jerry's. So I got a pint of Häagen-Dazs cookie dough dynamo extra, with extra cookie dough. So that's also beautiful. So that's my jam. Or I always have a 6-pack of Fresh Bakery chocolate chip muffins in the house.
Well, that's diet food. So yeah.
At all times. Just regular intake of that. That's like a real, fuck, I'm going to turn something on. I'm going to watch an episode of Billions and have a muffin.
You know? It's going down. Do you ever grill one like Michaela taught me how? Did you ever see that?
Oh, yes. Oh, excellent.
Did you ever try it? You did it?
No. Oh, I should try Okay, I'll do
it's
it.
It's next level. Listen.
Okay, I'll do it up.
They own a fucking restaurant. She knows this shit. I'm just telling you.
Sometimes if it's a Saturday and I'm going all out, it's a bowl of Ben & Jerry's ice cream with a muffin in it. Then I get the odd, double bite, you know, where you put some of the muffin in with some of the Ben & Jerry's. And
dude, I feel like I'm getting a little Ron on another level right now.
Yeah, no.
Fatness. He's like, then.
Throughout my life, Dusty, there has been a theme that ice cream and baking go in the same bowl.
Which is how Half-Baked was created,
right? Essentially. Cookies and ice cream, cake. You could put a piece of chocolate cake, mash it all up. You could do, or you could keep the cake all nice looking and chop away at it if you like the beauty of the slices. You know, sometimes you want that. You know, you don't want to eat a piece of cake on a plate once in a while. Yeah. But if you're in the mood,
vomit and blend it basically.
Yeah. So baking and ice cream go together I mean, the Dairy Queen blizzard was probably what ruined it for everyone.
Yeah, the beginning of the end.
So that's my thing. Or I'll order a pizza.
Yeah, no, the pizza's always... So that happened to me on Saturday.
Right.
I had this big plan of like a extravagant home meal. And then there was weed that took place, a lot of it. And next thing you know, Domino's showed up.
Like, that'll happen.
We took a sharp fucking turn, and I was okay with it because Domino's is really good when you're in that place.
You know what? I ordered Domino's the other day for the first time in years. I normally get Panago, which is like, I don't know, you don't have Panago. Oh,
down, do you? Yeah, I've had it up there.
I normally get Panago because I just, they do, I like my pizza from there. But they closed before Domino's did that day. So fucking Domino's app, get the new app, sign up real quick.
Yes.
And yeah, there's, I like Domino's pizza. It's fucking good. Another thing that I have, you know, I'm trying to kind of like, I eat like the same, I'm kind of dieting most days and I don't.
Yeah, you have like a one meal a week or one day a week, right?
Usually, but then there's, like I said, a couple muffins in there. But sometimes I'll turn my carbs into rice cakes. And I'll eat those while watching TV because those are fucking yummy. So I'm a rice cake guy, flavored rice cakes.
Flavored ones? Yeah, me too.
Barbecue, stuff like that.
Did you ever do the ones they used to have and they're gone now? But it was chocolate. Harvey.
No. Oh, yeah.
Harvey, I hear you, dude. I like them too, but I'm telling a story. Okay, I'll tell them. So they had the peanut butter and chocolate chip ones. The actual chips of peanut butter and chips of chocolate chip.
In rice cakes. Yeah, no, I never had those.
Fucking unreal. I think they were illegal because they're gone now.
Right.
I think people are stealing their mother's televisions and selling them to buy them. So it became a real pandemic of its own. Anyhow, yes. I want to share, but like once you started mixing baked goods in your ice cream, I got nothing. I'm so basic. Because all I do is the same. Like, and I'll get excited and go to the store and buy... So we have a Yogurtology right here, which is like one of those yogurt places where you mix all the shit in. You have one of those by you?
Yeah, yeah. We have
have one next to us that's ridiculous. What's it
called? I can't remember.
It's the best one in the world, without question. I have dropped over $20 on two ice creams there many, many times. And I always go nuts on them. Well, yeah, I'm keeping it tight. And I never finish the fucking thing. I'm that guy with every dessert. I get this big plan. I do the big bowl.
See,
fats, dude. I mean, I'll knock the pizza down every single time, but the ice cream's going to get loved and then put back.
Won't finish it.
Yeah.
I used to be able to smash a large blizzard when I was a kid. Like when I used to like freestyle ride and stuff, I just smash a large blizzard, like with that big long spoon, just right down to the bottom. I'm like, now I can usually only eat a half a pint ice cream if I'm really going for it.
Yeah, you're focused, and that's all you. Now that you're 300 pounds versus 150,
256, right. Dusty.
You did not get under 260. How long you been under 260?
3-4 weeks. I go over 260 on my Saturday.
Lean, like you're not going to get any lighter than this. You think you can?
Oh yeah. Well, I could. I mean, my quads are starting to striate a little bit on the outside and my teardrops are getting feathers.
You sent me
stuff.
That picture like 265 and I was kind of like, well, you can't really get much leaner than this. I mean, now we're getting into like shredded, not like lean.
yeah. I definitely ate a little more the last like week because just with the gym and stuff, I just been like kind of just eating like, and then missing meals. I missed a few meals and then I just double up on the next meal and just like, fuck, you know, cooked like a 20 ounce steak and had like 3 cups of rice the other day because I hadn't eaten in 6 hours, you know, just one of those things.
All right. This is a good one. So I love this. I feel like, I'm tipping my hat to Luke every time I'm staring at my phone when we're supposed to be doing this.
Yes. I actually have thought of that while we're doing this episode.
I'm like, look at me go watching my phone, ignoring Ron, but I am listening, but this one's good. Tips on recovery while taking an extended break from sauce and still training like a mutant.
Tips on recovery. Watch your volume. And that includes that you have to remember that forced reps are volume.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So training intensity and volume are like, you know, the more forced reps you do, the more rest pause sets you do. Oh, I only did one set. It's still a rest pause set.
Yeah, it's like three sets, really.
Yeah, so you have to like, you know, you just have to really throttle the amount of work that you're doing in the gym in a way. You have to train hard. You have to try to stay strong.
Yep.
You have to really, really battle for those reps. Like, you have to get your head into it. Mm-hmm. Like, I remember all those years, like I said, I used to come off all the time. So I'd be like, okay, you know, I'm doing, you know, 3.5 plates on the fucking flat bench for 8. Three plates for 8 is like as weak as I'm going to get in the next 3 months.
Right.
And I'd go off sauce for 3 whole months and I'd only lose like 50 pounds off my bench or maybe even like 30 pounds off my bench.
What was a hot, like a low rep bench at that time, like for a set?
5 to 6.
Okay. Yeah. So that's why, cause you were so low. I always have found, cause my low end reps are obviously higher. I always would say, don't lose any pounds, but you can lose some reps.
Right. You'd have more room to lose reps.
Yeah. Cause I mean, there was 15, no, 15, you know, you see people that are like, oh, I can only deadlift five plates right now. And they're like, I usually do 6. I'm like, well, that shouldn't fucking happen.
Right. Right. I know.
Unless you're talking about one rep. Right. That shouldn't fucking happen. So no, that makes sense. Yeah. That's why I wanted to specify for people that are listening.
But I used bench as an example because bench was the thing that went down the most.
Yeah.
Well, my pressing with my long fucking arms.
Yeah.
But I remember I'd go off and my hack squat would almost stay.
Right.
You know, I'd be like, fuck, I might be bouncing a little more, but I'm only down 2 reps. You know, like,
I think though, what do you think about the fact that some of that is, and don't get me wrong, like my presses are terrible compared to a pole or something, but I do think there's something to be said for the fact that you mentally prepare for a squat, a deadlift, a hack squat differently than a bench. Like, because you're under the fucking bar. Like, I don't know. I've just found that I can never get to that same place on a incline barbell that I can on pretty much anything that can kill me.
Right. Right. I know what you mean. I notice now when I do incline dumbbell presses,
mm-hmm.
those used to be a monster movement for me. And when I say monster, I'm not talking about what we see now on Instagram. I'm talking about, you know, I was using 150s back in the 90s.
Right. Yeah, the and heaviest like, weight in the fucking gym. So, yeah.
Most gyms didn't even have them. And yeah. if you put the 150s up on the incline back in 99, everybody in the gym went like, oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Like, so I was doing that, you know. And then the 170s were going up in like 2003, 4, 5, you know, those years. But I've been hurt so many times now. Mm-hmm. And, you know, nags and nags. You know, the one tricep, the shoulder, that you know, just tearing rotators and stuff. That, you know, it's not a monster movement for me anymore, but I'm very determined to keep it solid.
Right.
Because it's like a mental thing. And I'm very careful when I lay back and I'm precise with my reps and I feel great doing them. I have no pain at all.
Right.
But I don't want to lose that movement. It means a lot to me.
Right.
So like,
well, you're keeping the ones close that are also a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I've always found with those, dude, like I laugh, but you remember when Ronnie was doing the 200s in his video?
Yeah, for like 12. I was doing like 170s for 5.
But I always thought the most impressive part of that was just watching him kick him up to himself. Like, because you just lean back with 400 pounds, like,
oh. Yeah, I know, it's funny.
And I mean, I've done it, and man, I'm like, okay. Like, I'm thinking, like, probably the most dangerous part for me is right now.
Well, yeah, it's like hip flexors, abs, rotator cuffs.
Yeah, make sure they both come back at the same time so I just fall right into place. My short-ass legs trying to stay on the fucking ground.
Yeah, stabilizing yourself. Yeah, there's that moment where you're at high risk.
That's my scariest point of a press like that. I'm like, okay, I just got to get to where I'm holding them. Then we're good to go.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
No, so yeah, that's solid because I do think that what I love is this kid is determined to not letting that go while he's off. So it's an important answer. And I think the big thing with the recovery is – pay attention.
Yeah. Well, if your strength, so let's say this is like a rule of thumb. If let's say I was training balls out.
Right.
And my strength went down. And I was off gear. My instinct wasn't, oh, I need to do more. It was, I need less.
Yeah, because you know you're doing everything else right. You're sleeping, you're eating.
Yeah,
you're
doing everything else right. Everything else. So if I go in and I didn't climb on the hammer machine or something and, you know, first exercise, I do my fucking, okay, I need to get 6 reps here. And if I only got 4, I was like, oh, well, I'm not going to do 3 more all out movements. I'm just going to do a couple more good solid sets and like good hard sets on 2 more movements and I'm done. I'm going to do less volume this week.
Yeah. Okay. Cause you knew. So here's a good one that I've been promising to answer here. So we got a guy, he's training through an injury. He can't use a ton of weight. So he's doing more volume, supersets, drop sets. What are your thoughts on the best way for him to continue progressing while he can't plow a bunch of weight on that tricep side?
Try to remember that I think we overemphasize rep ranges when it, like, there's do you remember when we had Sergio on and he mentioned Adam?
Yes.
Adam from Australia.
Yes.
Anyways, Adam Daly, buddy of mine. Anyways, he's always talking about the studies that show that hypertrophy is a 3 to 30 rep phenomenon mainly. Right. Mm-hmm. That's really the zone. Like, there's hypertrophy to be found all through that range.
Mm-hmm.
You know, obviously there's hypertrophy to be found in the 3 to 5 range. Powerlifters are fucking huge.
Yep.
And then obviously there's hypertrophy to be found in the high rep range. Look at all the 20 rep leg guys, some of the fucking freaky fucking legs on some of those dudes.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just looking at sports and finding clues in other athletes' physiques, time under tension, all that stuff. So if you can't train in the 6 to 12, fuck, train in 20 rep range for a while.
Right.
You're not going to get smaller if you're training hard. And there's multiple studies now. And then Brad Schoenfeld, did I say his name right?
Yes.
Schoenfeld? Anyway,
that's Sean, but yes.
Yeah, that's science. Okay. The guy that would never come on our show because he's way too smart.
Which is bullshit, but go ahead.
He's not funny enough.
right.
No. But what I like about him is he posted a study. It was a meta study,
mm-hmm.
and it showed that rep range really didn't matter. It was intensity.
Of course.
And you know, Meadows was on there, commented with him, like, I fucking knew it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
And they were talking back and forth, and it was just saying, like, in all the study groups over all these studies, the intensity was the number one factor for hypertrophy, and then mentioned that, you know, the lower rep ranges did see strength gains that the upper rep ranges didn't see,
mm-hmm.
but the hypertrophy was the same.
Yep.
And so that's something that you have to remember when you're banged up.
Yeah. Well, I think you want to play into role two of the mental side. If you know you can't press a certain amount of weight, you're going to have a bad workout trying to play in that range.
Yeah.
So get the fuck out of there and focus on something that you don't even know what your numbers are yet, so they can progress, you know. And same thing, like when you're working body parts, like when I hear tricep injury or bicep injury, I start thinking about all the other body parts that I'm actually worried about, chest, this and that. You know, I train until the pain and then come back out. You know, like if it's a tricep thing, you've seen, like, the same reason that I bench the way I do or incline or whatever. People are always like, oh, you don't go the full range. I'm like, I got to keep these fucking things out of it.
Right.
My triceps want to do it. They're like, I got you. And I'm like, that's why my chest sucks ass, is because
the triceps keep jumping in.
They jump in. So my range is actually shorter than what I would suggest for other people because I feel it. They don't help. They take over.
Right.
You know, so for someone like them, that's what I would look at, is when you're doing the other body parts, what do you feel? And then avoid the things that you can't do. Like, you know, when I was dealing with the shoulder injury, I took away all pressing for shoulders.
Yeah, I've done that a few times. And I've done no pressing for shoulders for like 6 months at a time before.
Yeah. You know what's crazy though, Ron, is at the end of this, I'm sitting there looking, and I'm heavier in the off season right now. I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to go back.
Right, you might not need
like,
to anymore.
I started looking at my shoulders. I'm like, they might be better, which is crazy because I would not teach that to anyone that I take on that's young, because I'm a huge proponent of shoulder press 405. I promise you're gonna have big fucking shoulders.
Right. Maybe there's other movements you've been introducing to replace that volume, and it's been working in another way, and there's some factor that you're not thinking of, and blah blah blah.
Yeah. You bump into shit, right?
Yeah. So yeah, you bump into shit.
But I want to, because you brought the name up, I'm going to segue here. I did want to kind of get your 2 cents on the John situation.
Yeah, so let's talk about Meadows. Obviously, a surprise to everyone. Very happy that he's okay. Fuck. Obviously, given the situation, we weren't ready for something to happen to him.
God, especially him, because he's so disciplined.
Yeah, and then he's like the healthiest dude out there, and he's, you know, he's got that doctor that's his like best friend, Dr. Serrano,
whatever,
that takes care of him and all that shit. But now, obviously, the facts are out. And I mean, he's already died of blood clots before. I mean, you watch that video. I mean, I knew he had a weird disease that affected his intestine and they had to take his colon out and it was an emergency and it almost killed him. But I didn't realize, because as he was explaining, that all started with a blood clot.
Yep.
And it like ruptured inside him and his intestine would have fucking exploded with blood clot and he would have died. And they got it out just in time, like crazy shit.
Yep.
And so he obviously has a predisposed condition for clotting for some reason. And then his wife put that post up from like a year ago where he was talking about how his calcium score was great, but his mom and dad both had heart attacks in their 30s.
Yep. Yeah, well, you and I talked about that.
You have to stop and think for a second. Okay, having your dad have his heart attack, having a heart attack in his 30s is really rare.
Yeah.
Having both parents have heart attacks is really rare. And then having a woman in her 30s have a heart attack is like, the statistics on that are, he's just, like, he's lucky he hasn't had a heart attack for whatever reason they did.
Yeah. Well, the reason is probably because he's so healthy and has been.
Yeah, yeah. So obviously he had a some kind of clot issue for some reason. I saw somebody wrote on one of his posts. I thought it was someone that we know, but They said, yeah, I had a heart attack too because of a blood clot. They said the clot most likely formed when I tore my pec and it broke off a year later and went into my heart. They said, because, you know, I guess he tore his pec or his hamstring or something. I can't remember. But there was like a horrible hematoma and it was like really, really bad bruising and blood. And they say likely it was a year old clot that like broke free and came up his main artery and boom, hit his heart. So like, fucking talk about a time bomb.
Yeah, and something you couldn't do anything about. You know, what's funny was
Heart attack.
In a good way, I'll tell you one thing that I appreciate from this is my phone started blowing up on the John thing. But what was cool is it wasn't gossip. I had a lot of guys reaching out to me and saying, hey, what other tests should I be getting done? Because everyone's kind of doing the half-assed blood work or this or that. And I think when you have a healthy guy go down and you know he's healthy, that's even me, I was kind of like, you know, I think I'm gonna get an echo. Like, so, just because I'll be honest with you, like, I don't want to, there are plenty of people in the industry that if they had a heart attack, I'd be like, well, yeah, he's an asshole. Well, he doesn't think, you know what I mean? When someone like John does, you're like, oh, fuck. I mean, I'm careful, but I don't know if I'm more careful than he is.
So, do you think – so I have a text here from Dante on my phone.
I know which one it is.
It has no names in it.
Uh-huh.
Do you think he'd mind if I read it?
Shoot.
I mean, it's got no names. He's just talking about how he's helping a guy that has terrible blood work.
Yeah, well, I think
it might help someone.
Yeah, bombing in, dude.
Okay, so Dante and I were talking on Instagram, and he sent me this. He goes, this is after the John heart attack because it, you know, generated a whole bunch more heart attack talk. So even though John's was obviously not like gear and plaque and heart disease related, it just got the topic coming up. So he messages me. He goes, I just cannot get over this crap. I'm helping one of the most famous names in the industry right now with his blood work. He tells me he got a coronary calcium score a while back and never followed up on it after he got the score. 0 to 100 is a pretty good score. 400 means you have a 90% major heart event and blockage. This guy is low 40s year old and is a 337. I'm reading the Riot Act right now, and I'm just shocked to see these guys just don't get it, that you can't screw up your lipids year round for long periods of time with any drugs and come out of it shining. I'm just shocked at the disconnect. I got a coronary calcium score 10 years ago from today. It was zero. Zero. This guy's going to have a heart attack in the next 8 years. I'm going to have to pull out all the stops to try and help reverse the plaque accrual. I just read on the Riot Act, and I'm just shell-shocked that people don't get it. You just can't ride single-digit HDLs year-round with sky-high trigs and LDLs from juice and live a long time.
Well, I think, you know, and he and I have had these conversations many times.
I hope he doesn't mind I read that anyways.
Well, it's... The bottom line is there's nothing connected to it. So when you guys are hearing that story, don't try to figure out who it is. Think about if it's you.
Yeah,
is it you? You know what I mean? Because the thing is if you're not thinking that way, you're at risk. You know, so when I do my blood work, I know my stuff. Dante knows it better, so I send it to him immediately. And if anything's off, I'm crying about it. Like, what the fuck do I need to do? And I can't tell you how many times he's like, dude, just shut the fuck up. Like, yeah, you're 300 pounds. That is what it is. Or if you knew.
I lost you for a little bit, Dusty.
Bad. Are you there?
Yeah, I lost you for a second.
Now you're moving again.
Yeah, yeah, bro.
Right, I'm gonna start from scratch just to be sure. You're not moving again. There you go. You're blinking. You're alive.
I'm here, buddy.
You're alive.
Okay, sorry. We had a moment. We had a moment, everybody.
We have moments. But no, so what I was going to say is with these things, I'm hoping you guys will start looking. Two factors. Number one, I feel like a lot of guys don't get their blood work because they don't want to know.
Yeah, that's a problem.
And that's stupid because that means you already fucking know. The other common misnomer is I'm going to get my blood work done 3 months after my show. No, get it done when you know it's at its worst. So you can figure it out, work backwards. And then the big one, which is what he was just talking about, is if your numbers are fucked, don't be an idiot. You're not invincible. Yeah. And it's just bodybuilding.
Right.
Like, if it's time to stop and save your life, do it while you can, not when you realize, Jesus, I went for one more.
Right. Right.
You know, and I don't care if you're fucking Mr. Olympia. Like, these numbers, man, they don't fuck around. And I hate how often... I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people where I've told them, hey, you should be done. And then they say, yeah, I know, but I can't.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I got to say, Dusty, I just got the latest episode of Mutant on a Mission to review. It's going up, I think, next week. But it's at Super Training with Mark Bell.
Yeah.
And we have a conversation that made the video about reinventing yourself and when it's time to move on.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, cause he was a 1,000-pound squatter.
Right.
I mean, that's, you know, and you know, now he's not, he's like this super athlete that can fucking do everything.
Right.
And, you know, we just had a talk and we talked about Jay, how Jay did such a good, like, downsizing and, you know, still trains every day and he's healthier than fuck. And I got to tell you, you know, like life at 256 ain't that bad, man.
Right.
Pretty fucking good. I can train every day. I'm healthy. My last blood work was great. You know, I got to go in again soon, but it's obviously I've just been kind of hard to get a doctor's appointment and shit. But yeah, I got to go in and get my blood work done. It's been about 6 or 8 months. But yeah, life's great. I mean, I'm training every day and training hard and still have lots of muscle. And, you know, I know that, you know, ramming the whatever these guys are taking now. I mean, I can't imagine what this guy's taking.
Well, I just rolled my eyes because I don't even know anymore.
How many zeros?
Yeah. There's a comma, isn't there? Son of a
bitch. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, we're thousands of milligrams a week. And you know, I mean, yeah, it's fun and games. And, you know, obviously if you should be the type of person, like, you know, if it takes that much gear, it's probably not what you should be doing.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's kind of the wall I ran into. I didn't want to up my doses anymore. I wasn't comfortable going. I don't really want to go up there. And this is as good as I got, right?
Yep.
Not an excuse, but it's just I never went there, so I don't know.
Right.
You know, everyone's got their speed limit.
Yep.
But you got to know when you're looking at your blood work and it says you're going to have a heart attack in the next 6 years. I mean, fuck.
Well, here's my take on that. And I use this from my hockey past is – I think where people fuck up and the reason some guys can't let go is because they didn't give it their all when they were doing it. So
right. They missed the good years. They fucked up.
Yeah. So there's some unfinished business, but the problem is they don't realize they're never going to finish that business.
Yeah.
So like, you know, when I had my shoulder surgery and the plan was to come back and play again. And I played in a celebrity game when I was healed. There was no fighting, no hitting, and I was beat up terribly after that game. And I knew, like, the next morning I woke up and I said, okay, this is done. And I sold my equipment and I was done. And I never thought about it again because I went at it with everything I had. So when it was time to get off the bus, I just got off.
Right.
And that's how I look at, if you look at the guys who've done that successfully, Mark Bell, Jay Cutler, these guys did what they did while they were doing it. And then they got off the fucking bus.
Yeah. Dorian.
You know, yeah, they're done. And I think that's where it's funny because I have guys, I've been asked that before because I've openly said, like, I want to be like 230, you know, which for me would be small. And people are like, oh, how could you handle walking around like that? And I'm like, I look forward to it.
Yeah, yeah, it'll be fun. It's like, good that you're ready. You're going to embrace it when it's time.
Well, there's new challenges, you know?
But it also on the flip side, I also love seeing the guys come up that want to be freaks. And yeah. And I know they're doing it the right way. And I know that they're, you know, being aware of all this stuff. And I hopefully they can, the next wave of freaks that come through with all the education and the knowledge that some of these young guys have access to, because there's some really smart young guys out there that are doing, you know, doing things right.
Well, they're cashing in on the things that we did,
yeah, working
their faces off, but then they're smarter than we were.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe they can be the next bar raisers in bodybuilding because they'll do it, you know, like why were all the guys in the 90s awesome? Because their careers lasted long enough that they got good was one of them.
Right. Well, factor this in too, though, dude. Like, here's a funny thing. Dorian, wouldn't you argue he was one of the biggest freaks ever at his time?
Yeah.
He's healthy. Jay, freak if you ever saw him important. So you guys can become the freakiest freaky motherfucker there is without dying for it.
Yeah, there's a right way to do it. And I mean, even Ronnie, like, Ronnie's healthy. It's just his back's fucked.
Yeah, like, no, we're not dealing with internal organs and shit. Yeah.
Ronnie's not walking around with problems like that. It's, you know, it's all structural.
So I get the cool thing about John's situation, though, like I said, is the fact that when someone healthy has an issue, it does wake you up to, all right, this can happen, so maybe I should watch closer.
Yeah, it's funny. Like, John's situation it made me actually, well, not worried about having a heart attack because I know my blood works good for heart attacks, but it made me worry about like having some kind of weird freak heart attack. Like, do I have a blood clot somewhere?
Right.
Like, do I have something that's going to like break off and float up? And like, what about when I tore my quad? Is there anything left in that leg that's maybe not supposed to be there?
Right.
Like, so I started thinking about that.
Right. That's fucking classic. You're walking backwards here a little bit. Hey, we do need to cover one more because this is kind of it's a big question that was asked a couple of times within a few of the radio shows. Scott forwarded this to me. So here's the rundown of it. So I kind of want a general advice because it's a question that covers all age. Basically, I'm a 6-year-old skinny kid who has abs and nothing else. I work really hard in the gym since I know how to work because I was a competitive athlete. My parents think I'm underweight, and maybe I am, but I was wondering if possible to build muscle while staying lean. Every time I try to think of eating more, I just get really worried about losing my abs and then being a skinny kid with no abs and no muscle. Do you have any advice? I eat super clean, 4 meals a day. Another question, I'm always thinking of bodybuilding, but don't know how to spend my day working towards that goal. Like, what could I do? I'm told if I train over an hour and a half, my cortisol rises, I lose my gains. If I run too much, I lose muscle. What can I do to have all the when I have all this free time and drive?
Oh man. Paralysis by analysis.
I call it mental masturbation, but yes.
Right. Paralysis by analysis. How old was he again?
16. Yeah.
Man, so he's naturally skinny and 16.
Yep.
Yeah, so his main hurdle so just to break it down, I know there's a lot there. His main hurdle is he has to get over the idea that he shouldn't be eating more. He needs to eat more.
Yep.
If he wants to be a bodybuilder, if he wants to get bigger and add muscle, he needs to up his food intake. There's just absolutely no way that you have to eat for the body weight you want to be.
Yes.
That is the bottom line. So what does he weigh right now?
He didn't even say. He just said skinny.
So let's say he's 170. I don't know. No idea. He has to eat to be 190.
Yep.
He can't eat to be 170 lean because that's where zero progress ever will happen. He'll just get like residual occupational hypertrophy from just moving weights around.
And from getting older.
And from getting older. Yeah. Well, so that's another thing. Fuck.
Yeah. I forgot he was 16.
That's the root. He's currently on the best cycle he'll ever be on.
He's juiced out of his mind naturally. He's
juiced out of his mind. He will never have a more effective hormonal environment than right now. And there's another extra bonus to being young is his bones are still growing and still getting denser.
Yep.
So the more he loads his frame, and the more he eats and the bigger he gets, the more bone density he'll gain.
Yep.
The more body weight, because they say for every 10 pounds, I was always told for every 10 pounds I put on, a pound was bone. Because it has structural density that has to support what you're doing. I mean, right. You can't not add bone density and squat six plates for 15 reps like you do.
Right.
Like, so I remember when I went and had a DEXA scan done the first time, the guy looked at everything. It was interesting. And then he goes, hey, this is the crazy one. And he showed me this chart and there was like all these athletes on it for bone density. Mm-hmm. And then there was this massive gap of like 10 pages scrolling, and then there was me. He said I was a 3,000th percentile for whatever it was. He said, like, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people in a room, and I would have the highest bone density. Right. And he said the only people that were on my end of the spectrum were some of the really big, strong University of BC Lions, or sorry, University of BC football players, and some of the BC Lions, the football team here. He said that some of the big football guys had really high bone densities, but mine was the highest he'd ever tested. Obviously, he hadn't tested like everyone or Olympic athletes, maybe me or whatever, but I was just the biggest juice head he's ever tested, and my bone density was off the fucking chart. And so that's something that he can build right now while he's growing. He's going to be a bigger, not just bigger muscles, but he'll be a bigger person.
Right.
If he trains now.
Right.
And he eats now and grows now, gets his body weight up.
I love that that you said you have to eat for what you're supposed to be, because it's so funny that that's what I was taught 100 years ago. It was like, oh, well, you want to be 230 and you're 200? Cool. Well, this is what a 230-pound bodybuilder would eat. Eat it.
Yeah.
And it's so fucking simple but so accurate, you know, because he's obsessed with staying lean and having his abs, but he wants to be bigger. And if you think about a guy if he's as lean as I picture, like I was when I was 16 – it almost doesn't matter what he eats. He's going to have a hard time getting fucking fat.
You know what? I wasn't shredded, but I was like lean. Like everyone knew I was a bodybuilder in high school. I was eating Wendy's every fucking day at lunch.
Yep. Me too.
And I was just training. Like I would get a spicy chicken and I would get a double with cheese.
I got the cheese on the spicy chicken also, but go ahead.
Oh yeah. Okay. But yeah, I was, I was bombing food, man. You know, everyone's heard me rant on about the big blenders full of shit. And, you know, it's, he's going to have to get his food intake up. And then secondary to that is all the stuff people are telling him, like, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. That's just, don't worry about that stuff. Get a good solid training program and stick to it and be consistent and don't let everyone fill your head full of nonsense.
Yeah.
And you're also 16. If you want to do some fucking sprints, go for it. You're 16. You should be playing some sports and having some fun too.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think that's when I'm reading that, the first thing I thought is like, I find that the internet and even some of the shows and even the quality can be dangerous, because I think what helped me progress when I was young is I didn't think a ton. I needed to eat a lot of food.
Yeah.
So I ate a lot of food.
Sometimes
I need to get stronger. So I would get stronger.
Sometimes I miss what life was like without this. And it's not just the phone. It's just information. Yep. Like all this information, like how pure was it to not know anything other than I'm working out today and I have to eat.
Yeah. Well, you know, we talked about this. Like I was lazy. So I would cook. I like my food fresh, so I'd cook my meals for a day, but I'd put them in one, I called it my trough, and I would just make sure I ate the whole thing before the day was over.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I have one meal a day.
Yeah, and people will, because I do, I have clients like, you know, and I get it, because I structure their meals for five or six a day, and then they get behind and they don't know what to do.
Yeah,
just put it. And that's because we've told them you eat six times a day. When I was a kid, I was busy, so I would eat as I could all day long. And I know someone would say, "Well, digestion, it fucking worked. I got bigger and I was training."
Keep it simple.
You know, so if you guys that are trying to figure that out, man, always break it down to the most simple thing and you'll grow.
I'll just leave people with this number. And obviously genetics, and I'm a big kid, I'm tall and all that. But at the end of grade 9, when I started training, I was 138 pounds. At the end of grade 12, when I graduated 4 years later, I was 230 pounds. So I gained 90 some pounds in, you know, from the end of grade 9 to the end of grade 12. So I guess that's only 3 years.
not even 4 years. I was going to say
it's only 3 years. So, yeah. So in 3 years, I mean, so you have to think, okay, well, how much would I have naturally grown in that 3 years?
Yeah.
Well, I went from, you know, I went from 5'7" to 6'6½, 6 foot half inch. So, you know, I gained that much height.
Yeah, so we got 30 pounds there. So you got 60 pounds of muscle.
Yeah. And then so 60 pounds of muscle. So how much would I have grown? Maybe another 20. Who knows? I still put on like 40 pounds of muscle tissue that I wouldn't have had by the end of high school.
In 3 years.
And some bone.
1 pound per.
There you go. So, I mean, that could be him.
And you were just doing, I mean, and you just, I keep driving home what everyone already hearing, but it was just consistency. You were eating and training.
Trained every day, and you know, I still played floor hockey and went to gym class and fucking did all my normal shit. I played football.
Right.
You know, I still ran sprints and was an athlete and all that stuff, but most of the time I was a bodybuilder.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's key to drive that, because that is, I think the quarantine time has really driven home that to me when I'm watching my guys progress in a way that I didn't think they would.
Yeah.
Like my goal was don't lose ground with my people that are focused.
Right.
So, I mean, I don't know what you've experienced, but the shock I've had with some of my guys getting better, I'm just like, but it's because they've gotten so anal and so perfect.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm almost laughing. I'm like, Jesus, now can we keep all this shit when the gym opens? Cause you're going to fucking blow up.
Now there's another type of client too, is the ones who've had things majorly disrupted with their training. So they're stuck with bands and shit.
Yeah.
But they still look better in their pictures.
Yep.
And like, I got a female client, she still dropped 10 pounds of fat and she doesn't look like she shrank. She's down 10 pounds. She's leaner, clearly leaner. Right. And she doesn't look like she lost size, really. Like, she'll get back in the gym and fuck it, probably 3 weeks. She's going to have to be like, I'm really like surprising what people were able to do.
Yeah. It just shows what happens when you get put in a position where you have to,
you know,
if you want it, you know, and that's something I look at always. It's like when failure is not an option, it's amazing what people do.
Yeah. I know. You know?
I mean, so it's been cool to see. So for him, this kid that we're talking about, it's the same. It's just like, find a way and turn your brain off. Just do what Dusty does. Turn your brain off and never turn it back on. You'll be fine.
Yeah.
Well, man, I know you got to get back to hanging out here, dude.
Well,
I
we did an hour 40 and I got to get to the gym. We're going to open tomorrow. So we've got a few things left to do. So remember, everyone, like, share, subscribe, comment, all that stuff. Help us out on the channel. We appreciate everything. And Dusty, you want to throw your code out, Dusty20?
Yes, Dusty20 on IamMutant.com. And we got some surprises coming up here shortly. You guys will be able to pick up there that you do not know about yet. So
yes, and my code is BigRon20 at IamMutant.com. Feel free to like me more than Dusty if that's possible.
Couldn't be.
And I also mentioned I have a new Mutant on a Mission coming out right away. So keep your eye on the Mutant channel, and that should be out soon. So thanks, everybody. Remember, it's just bodybuilding.